Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Hey, what's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs and leaders looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I love questions. I think a lot about what questions will engage people, bring forth interesting stories, and create a strong bond between myself and the person I'm talking with. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to dive into powerful storytelling questions, how tension is a path to enlightening stories, and why listening transforms the overall interview experience for everyone involved. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/252. As a documentary filmmaker and podcaster, I think a lot about questions. I think a lot about interviews and conversations. I even read collections of interviews because I nerd out that much on the art of the interview. Bill Moyers was the guy that I really first dove into his collection of interviews because I really loved his journalistic approach to drawing out the story. He had a show on PBS for the longest time that was really interviews with people, and I just loved how he approached the interview. I loved the questions that he asked. And what's interesting is, as I look back in my lifetime, I can see why I'm here today talking about questions and storytelling, because I love to listen. As a kid, I often grew up listening to my family talk. I was never one to really want to talk much. I was a lot more interested in listening and hearing about what other people were going through, what other people were experiencing. And that's kind of weird, especially for a kid, because don't we all just love talking about ourselves? But even to this day, I don't necessarily like talking about myself as much. So when the camera is on me or I'm the focus of something, it's harder for me to draw out the story because I'm so used to spending time listening and really refining the questions that I'm asking. One of the things that I do is I teach documentary filmmaking. And one of the areas of the process that I teach is about writing and approaching questions. And what's interesting is students often have a difficult time thinking about questions. So I really try to help them see not only the importance of the questions that they ask, but the shape of the interview as well. So let's start there. What are the types of questions that are best when you're approaching an interview or even a conversation? I'm going to use interview and conversation synonymously because to me, they are the same thing. Conversation and interview is about intentionally preparing for something of value between people. Something being a conversation, being, yes, I'm the one asking the questions, but at the same time, it's a two-way street. You can ask questions, I'm listening and reflecting upon what you're saying. So the types of questions that work best in this situation are what are called open-ended questions. These are great places to start. The best way to think about this is they are not yes or no questions. They are not binary questions. Those are closed-ended questions. Things like, did you eat breakfast this morning? That is a closed-ended question. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Now, assuming that most people eat breakfast, an open-ended version of that would be, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? And then if they said, well, I actually don't eat breakfast, that leads to an interesting conversation because at this point I can be like, oh, that's really fascinating. Why don't you eat breakfast? Is it for health reasons? Is it for personal reasons? And diving in, that's the entryway to the story, that open-ended question. With these types of questions, we also have a consideration of the shape of the interview itself. And much like camera lenses, we have a certain way to look at an interview. I think a lot about pacing. Think about music. We can only take so much of thrash metal before we might want something a little bit to take a breath, to back off a little bit of the intensity. And so for me, I like to start very open, very just kind of calming. Hey, you know, who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it? You know, those sorts of things. Something where most people are going to be really comfortable talking about what they do. Most of us, assuming that you are in a career, are more than comfortable talking about what you do. But if all you ever do is stay on that surface level, you miss out on so much, especially the deeper, more emotional stuff. And that's what we're going to get at in today's episode of Getting Work to Work. And so I want to share 6 types of powerful storytelling questions that really dive deep below the surface to get out the emotions, to draw out the stories, and to really get people talking in a way that is meaningful for everyone. The first type of questions are really those designed to bring forth stories. What's funny is when I'm interviewing people, oftentimes I hear this phrase, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I've just been rambling on," or "I'm so sorry." You know, oftentimes people apologize for talking. And one of the things in reflection is I think when people are just spouting facts, I think that's when they get more apologetic than when they're bringing forth feelings or telling the stories of the journey or telling the highs and the lows. And one of the things as an interviewer, if you can connect to the emotions of the storyteller and really draw out that information, you're going to have a better chance at connecting to the empathy of the listener. So questions that do this, well, before we dive into that, what is story? In many ways, story is about an introduction to someone. Who are they? What do they do? Why are they there? And what journey are they on? What conflict are they going through? And what are the resolutions? This is a really simplistic shape of a story, but in many ways, that is what a story is. And another interesting thing is my response to people's information either attracts or repels story. Sometimes if I'm not interested, people can sense that, so they just spout facts. But if I can dive into and really ask pointed questions and really get interested about someone, that's going to attract more stories and less apologies. What are some of the questions that you can ask? Well, what was your favorite thing to do as a kid? Why did you stop? How did you get involved in what you do? Who are your heroes? How do your heroes show up in your work? Do they? What are you super opinionated about? What are you not opinionated about? These are questions that on some level are going to go deeper than you imagine them being. As I was reflecting upon the first question, what was your favorite thing to do as a kid? I was flashing back to this thing that my friend and I used to do called tree hopping. And by the area that I grew up, there were a bunch of fallen trees and they fell in patterns that were interesting. It reminded me of the forest moon of Endor from Return of the Jedi. And I felt like I was going to discover Ewoks any minute. And what's interesting is when we would go on these tree hopping adventures, we were transported somewhere out of our daily lives into somewhere magical. And I think when we are kids, our imagination is at its peak, is at its highest. And the things that we love doing, those are the things that we probably think about on a subconscious level as adults and wonder, why did I stop? Why did I stop? Well, I moved. That's one. And then eventually I just got lazy. I was a very lazy kid. I didn't like to be outside very much. But as an adult, I love adventure and being outdoors. And yet, I don't connect to that inner child nearly as much as I should. So these questions are designed to not only bring forth stories, but to connect to very deep personal emotions in the storyteller. The second type of questions are those of struggle, overcoming odds, and the resulting transformation. I'm pulling a section of the story shape that I talked about earlier because struggle is very interesting, and I think there's 2 approaches to struggle to take. One is, okay, what struggle did you go through that you're through and you're on the other side of and you're able to kind of, you know, talk about it without too much emotion? But what's interesting about that is time changes the story. When we go through something that's life-altering and painful, we start to craft a narrative around that. And given enough time, it might not be as close to reality as it actually was. And so knowing that, another approach to struggle, though, is something that you're going through right now. Because you're not going to get a story that has been processed through time. You're going to get something that's very raw and in the process of being discovered. Think about it like mining. You know, you're diving deep into the wall. You're diving deep into the mine, and it's going to be sent off for processing somewhere else. So what are some of these questions that you could ask? Well, what struggle are you immersed in currently? What is a creative block you are facing? I like this one. What's something you've learned about money that you wish you could tell your past self about? Or what would your 18-year-old self think of who you are today? That last one might not seem like a question of struggle, but it might reveal some cognitive dissonance between how you see yourself and how you wish you saw yourself. And these are these ideas of struggle. What are the stories that you're telling yourself? What are the rejections that you're getting? What are the ways that you're building grit and resilience? These are all powerful statements of struggle and resilience. And those are powerful questions. The third type of questions are those of vision and dreams. I love questions that reveal dreams and aspirations and all out crazy ideas. I'm fascinated with the quixotic personality, the people that think that windmills are giants and people with grand aspirations. I was reading a book about Francis Coppola, and he was described as someone infected with wonderful, enthusiastic madness. That is a statement of vision and dreams, and that is something that I'm fascinated with. It's also something that's very revealing. There have been many times in my past where I wish I would have spent more time interviewing someone about their vision and dreams, because you can learn a lot about someone by what they dream about, by the vision of who they are and what they want to accomplish with their life. These are the archetypes. These are the giant personalities, the character traits that define who we are. What are we willing to put our life behind to go after? And this really gets at the core of who someone is. Several months ago, I interviewed the author of Be More Pirate, and he asked this question that was fascinating. What's something you believe in that you would die for? That is a question of vision and purpose. Another is, what change do you want to make in the world? What big idea are you chasing? Spending time in these questions of visions and dreams is powerful, because we don't do that nearly enough. Oftentimes, we spend more in the surface, like who are you and what do you do? But if we can dive into visions and dreams and struggle and stories, something powerful happens. The fourth type of questions are those of reflection and learning. As you know in this podcast, curiosity and creativity, those are two powerful values for who I am and what I do. And questions of reflection and learning are really about action. What are you learning and what are you putting into action? I ask everyone in this podcast, what's one book or podcast that has blown your mind? And that's a very surface level question on one hand, and it's a safer question, because the harder question is this. What was the last thing you read that you actually put into action? Like, I don't know if I can actually answer that question. Like, what was the last thing, Chris, that you read that you actually put into action? Well, it might have been, I've been reading a book on listening. I think I was putting some of that into play in the past few days. But making note of what you're reading, what you're consuming, and what you're putting into action is powerful. Another thing to consider is, what was the last mistake you made and what did you learn? Again, this is about not only what are you learning, but reflecting upon the things that you are learning, the things that you're going through. And these are powerful things to consider. And much like in the section on struggle, if we can get in here while it's fresh, while you're going through it, you're going to have a better opportunity to get something that's sticky, raw, and emotive. The fifth type of questions are what I call going deeper questions. Oftentimes when I'm interviewing someone, I'll hear someone use a phrase that I know they've said before. People love using phrases because I think most people want to come across as very clever. And when I hear one of those phrases, I'll often follow up with, hey, what's the story behind that phrase? Or what do you mean by that? And by listening, you're going to clue in when you can go deeper on things. And there's not really a whole lot of examples that I can give, but I guess the example that I can give is I like the phrase, creativity and curiosity fuel your life. That's interesting. What do you mean by that phrase? You've said this several times. What do you mean by that? By going deeper, it not only channels your listening, but helps you to go deeper into what it is that you're really wanting to draw from people. The sixth and final type of questions to really draw forth powerful story are questions that reveal tension. This is the hardest of them all. You need to listen for and embrace tension, because this is the best place to go for storytelling, even though it's not comfortable. As the interviewer, your confidence is going to grow exponentially as you lead with confidence, embrace tension, and lead people through it kindly. Because this is where that storytelling journey becomes the shape of your interview. You make people comfortable. You start seeing some tension, start picking at it, diving into it, going deep into it, and come out the other end and kind of wrap things up in a way that really helps them to see, wow, I wasn't expecting to go that deep. Here are some few things that I kind of use to notice that. The first is this question. I noticed that when you said that, your body language changed briefly. What are you feeling right now? Or I sense some tension in the air right now. Did I touch a nerve? Going deeper into this tension, it's again, you have to get out of your comfort zone, but not to the point where you're not in control. I think that's the balance in embracing tension. It's embracing, yes, it's embracing the tension, but it's also knowing that you're in control of the situation in a way that is empowering to the other person. And I think that's the dance with tension that as a seasoned interviewer, you're going to discover. So I hope these powerful storytelling questions have been useful for you. I hope that you will consider writing down some of the questions that you would want to ask someone and get into a daily or even weekly habit of spending time talking to people and drawing out their powerful stories. As we come to the end of this episode of Getting Work to Work, thank you for listening to this podcast. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative entrepreneurs and leaders who want to get their work to work? You can send them to gwtw.co to access every episode of this show, or you can have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do you have a big idea you're chasing or want to share about how you're growing in your creative work? Perhaps you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to, drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at ChrisMartinStudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. One of the things that you might notice about me in this podcast is that I love talking about curiosity, but I also like writing about it too. And I just launched a new email series for creative entrepreneurs who are struggling with burnout, conformity, and mediocrity. It's called the curiosity killers. Each day focuses on one killer and provides a few steps you can take to build your curiosity through wonder, learning, and action. Head to curiositykillers.com to sign up for this fun and serious look at why curiosity matters. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.